You're listening to the Legal Curve post-game podcast. Richard Pollack, not doing a solo cast, joined by Ezra Ginsberg for, I believe, it's not his debut post-game podcast, but it's awfully, you know, it's one of his first few post-game podcasts. And Ezzy, it was a heck of a game tonight. Winnipeg Jets, Nashville Predators, coming into the game, we knew the stakes. Jets trailing the Predators for the last playoff spot by 4 points, and Jets coming into the game clearly not playing well, and it was a sloppy game. some questionable calls, penalty calls, great action, injuries, hits, fights, everything you want in a hockey game tonight. Ended up in a 5-4 Jets overtime victory, which we'll break down in a second. But overall, what were your thoughts on the game?
Richie, and by the way, thanks for having me on the podcast. It's nice of Drew to take the night off, which is allowing me to be graced with your presence. You mentioned it, Rich. They don't get the clean 2 points, and that's the disappointing element of tonight's win, but they get the 2 points, so that's obviously positive. And you have to like the way Dustin Byfuglien played tonight, and you're concerned, and you hope that Dustin Byfuglien isn't going to be out of the lineup, of course, leaving the game and not returning, but I thought he was the best player on the ice, and that's not to take anything away from Blake Wheeler or Brian Little and that line with Drew Stafford. They were excellent. But the Jets, I thought, needed to explode offensively. They haven't had a game like this in a long time, and you like how they get the extra point in overtime. Beautiful pass by Brian Little to Blake Wheeler, who makes no mistake about it. That line, I thought, was really the story. And I thought the Jets really brought the physicality. I thought that they were sharp. I thought that they skated well. And as Paul Maurice talked about after the San Jose game, he really didn't like the way they used their speed against San Jose. I thought the Jets used their speed really well. But again, Rich, you know, this is just the beginning of a run that you hope that they're going to go on. And they have a game coming up against Minnesota. You got to win that game. You can't play 500 hockey anymore. They're chasing too many teams in the Central Division. So it's nice that they pick up the win after the two stinkers against San Jose and Buffalo. But their work is far from over.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the thing is, you look at the end score, Ezzy, it's 5-4 victory, but it was a 4-1 lead with 11 minutes left at home against a team in Nashville who's been struggling. So and a team you're trailing in the standings, and that point may become very important down the stretch. Let's break down every goal as we always do on the post-game podcast. And, you know, Ezzy, the game started with a bang. Jets in that must-win game, as we spoke about, come out, and Ryan Johansson streaks down the left side. Boy, he was good tonight, wasn't he? Streaks down the left side, cuts inside out on the Jets defenders. I believe it was Tyler Myers there, and what he does is he creates space for himself, puts a hard shot on Hellebuck, and the rebound bounces out. Kevin Fiala goes top corner with the puck, and it actually pops out, and we're not sure if it goes into the net or not. Eventually, there's a replay, and it shows that there was a goal, but impressive for Fiala tonight.
Yeah, and when we were watching it up here, we knew it was in. You could clearly tell that goal was in. It kind of reminds you of that Brian Little goal. Was that against the Rangers? I believe it was against the Rangers that he scored, and everybody, at least from my vantage point, thought it was in. But, yeah, you mentioned, Richie, the nice play by Ryan Johansson. But Kevin Fiala playing in his first game this year, second career regular season NHL game, third career game because he played in the playoffs last year for one game. But I thought he was really good. And I like how Peter Laviolette puts Kevin Fiala on that top line with Ryan Johansson and James Neal. He doesn't kind of bury him on the third or fourth line. He puts him in a situation where he can succeed. And Kevin Fiala had a couple of chances after that in the game. But yeah, Nashville gets out to a really nice start. And I thought that they were the better team in the period. And the Jets started off slow, and they really didn't get it going until the second.
Yeah, I think we agree, Ezzy, that Johansson was the best forward on the ice tonight and that the best defenseman was Byfuglien. And there's a lot of good players out there, Wheeler, Weber, Yossi for sure, and he was very good tonight. But you're right, Nashville and the first period, 1-0 for Nashville. Shots were 9-9 in the first period. The Jets did have two power plays, though. And so they had two power plays and weren't outshot, and Nashville was likely the better team.
I think they only had one shot, Richie, on those two power plays. The Jets' power play didn't get going until later in the game. I think they ended up 1-1 of 6, if I'm not mistaken. But that first period...
1-5, yeah.
Yeah, 1-5, so those first couple of power plays weren't very successful. you'd like to see them maybe tie that game up in the first. But as we said, it was really the second period where the Jets really exploded offensively.
And it was. And where did it start? The catalyst seems like it's always Dustin Buffen, as he, and he gets on the board 6:32 into the second period. This play starts as he in the Jets zone. Matthew Perreault, a nice defensive play. He gets the puck up to Nikolai Ehlers, who comes down the left, cuts from the right side to the left, has a good chance, and then gets a rebound shot. And what happens is the puck works its way back up to Brooks, gets the, I think the puck works its way back up to Buffen, if I recall correctly. He gets a shot on net. And when he gets a shot on net, he actually follows his own shot. The puck hits, it looks like it hits Roman Josi in front of the net and pops out, if I recall correctly. And Mike Ribeiro, who's the center, but he's on Buffen there, he loses Buffen. And Buffen comes right in, unimpeded, puts a puck past Rene, who was not good tonight. Pekka Rene looks shaky. Five goals, was it, on how many shots? 24 shots. That's not an impressive performance for a guy who's in the Vezina talk, really, before the season has been. The past number of years, for the most part, there's been here. There are seasons where he hasn't been terrific. And it's 1-1.
Yeah, Pekka Rene was not good tonight, Rich. You can't really mince words there. And he's usually one of the top goalies in the league, as you mentioned. But, you know, you can't blame the entire game on Pekka Rene. But you definitely could say that Pekka Rene makes a couple staves and maybe he keeps the game closer, especially when the Jets went up 4-1. That wraparound, I think, was maybe the weakest goal that was scored on Pekka Rene. Even though it was a nice goal, that was the Jets' third goal of the game. But the goal that you just mentioned, Dustin Byfuglien's first goal, you're right. That was pure determination by Buff. He just drives the net. As you said, the shot doesn't get through, hits Roman Josi, and that's why, you know, coaches will always tell you, go to the net, good things happen, drives the net, gets his own rebound, and we're tied up at one.
Yeah, and some of the Predators forwards defensively left, you know, something to be desired for sure. I should note, Ladd and Trouba got the assist on that goal. It was Ehlers who brought the puck in after Perreault picked it up, and that was kind of what started the play. The puck worked its way back to Byfuglien, Andrew Ladd with the pass, and Trouba with the other assist on that goal at 6:32. Less than 3 minutes later, 9:02 of the second period, Brian Little converts on a power play goal from Blake Wheeler and Matthew Perreault. And I mean, first of all, the penalty that James Neal takes, a late interference hit behind his the offensive goal for Nashville. Stupid penalty for sure, and a clear penalty. Hits the Jets defender way late. Jets capitalize, and boy, I got to tell you, I mean, Blake Wheeler here, what a gorgeous, gorgeous move. He has the patience, comes on the right side, has the patience to wait out Ryan Ellis. I thought played a pretty good game. Waits out Ryan Ellis, then fires the puck cross ice to Brian Little on his off wing. The puck is in the back of the net before you know it. Jets up 2-1.
It's a pretty simple play, and how many times have we seen Wheeler to Little over the years? We've seen Little and Ladd to Wheeler as well, but Wheeler's an excellent playmaker. He picks up assist 31 on the season there. He's been a point a game this season, as you know, Richie. He had an excellent game again, and he really doesn't have very many bad games. I mean, I can't really think of one off the top of my head, but yeah, it was a beautiful pass. Nice shot by Little. It was nice to see them get that power play goal, I thought, because of the two really mediocre power play opportunities that they had in the first period. So it was a really nice goal by Little, and I think that really got the ball rolling for the rest of the game. And you know, we talked about Byfuglien's goal after that which we'll talk about coming up next, but I thought that was an important goal that came, as you mentioned, very shortly after Buff's first goal.
And only 5 minutes and 5 seconds later, the Jets get on the board again. You mentioned the Byfuglien goal, his second of the game and 11th of the year. Looks like he's on pace for about 20 goals this year, Dustin Byfuglien. This is just Byfuglien. This is Byfuglien unassisted, but it's not one of those cheap unassisted plays. He brings that puck in over the blue line. He beats Roman Josi, one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League, wide, skates really well, and he slides around the back of the net, the old wraparound you very rarely see. He actually scores on the wide side. He doesn't tuck it in. He scores on the other side of Pekka Rinne. Another bad goal, by the way, for Pekka Rinne. I mean, you can't let that in. But Byfuglien doing it all himself. The crowd goes crazy. It's 3-1 Jets and all the momentum on the Jets side.
Yeah, and I mean, I can't really say it in any other way, Richie. It's a beautiful goal by Buff. And how many times have we seen Buff do that? He blazes down the wing, and he likes to drive the net, as we know, but he's also smart enough to wrap that puck around, right? And you don't see very many goals scored. I think it was Steve Valiquette, former Rangers goalie, that pointed that out, that wraparound goals are so rare nowadays. But the thing is, if you're a guy like Buff, especially with his reach, I think if you're not a big guy like Buff, you don't necessarily have that ability to wrap the puck around like that. And you're right. That was a weak goal by Pekka Rinne. He should have hugged the post and just made that save. I mean,
he's big.
You got to make that save. You're right. Pekka Rinne is a big goaltender, but got to give Buff credit. Second goal of the game. And, I mean, he really, I thought, put the team on his back tonight.
Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree. He was dominant tonight. We'll talk about the injury that happened in the third period, and certainly that changed the tide a bit, and we'll talk about one of the goals that I think was very much caused by the fact that he wasn't out there. But at the end of two, the Jets are up 3-1. Have pretty good control of the game on the scoreboard, at least. We're outshot by Nashville 12-8 in the second period, but get some quality opportunities, and going into the third period, they get an early goal less than 6 minutes in from Nikolai Ehlers. A goal from Nikolai Ehlers, the assist to Andrew Ladd and Ben Sherratt. And boy, I mean, the crowd gets on Andrew Ladd a bit, and they have been lately, but this is a beautiful touch pass. This play starts behind the Jets' net. Ben Sherratt has the puck for a while. He fires a puck up to Andrew Ladd on the, to the right of Pekka Rinne, right before, right between, the red line and the blue line, offensive blue line, of course. And you have Ryan Ellis coming up on Ladd. While Ryan Ellis is coming up on Ladd, Sherratt's pass is tipped, one-time tipped, touch pass to streaking Ehlers, who beats Ekholm on the other side. So the execution here is terrific, but what a pass by Ladd. Ehlers comes in, beats Rinne clean. It is 4-1 with 14 minutes left in the game, and you think game over.
Yeah, you really do, and you made a really good point there. I mean, this goal, you got to give Andrew Ladd credit, and you're right, Rich. He has been a target of criticism here this year, and some of it is deserved. He hasn't had his best season offensively, certainly, but makes a beautiful pass, as you mentioned. He's kind of around the center ice area as Sherratt fires the puck up, and Nikolai Ehlers makes no mistake about it. And, Nikolai Ehlers scored a goal last game. I think he's probably played the best he's played since early on this season, and I think Andrew Ladd and Nikolai Ehlers are starting to create a little bit more chemistry up on that second line. And even though I don't know if that's ideally your second line, and that's pretty obvious to say with Mark Scheifele out of the lineup, but I think Perreault, Ehlers, and Ladd was good tonight, and it was a beautiful goal. And as you mentioned, Pekka Rinne, again, one of those situations where it's a breakaway, but he just wasn't making those big stops. And I agree with you, Richie. At that point, you think it was game over, and slowly but surely the Predators clawed back.
They did claw back, Ezzy. And I think, in terms of that point, Ladd and Ehlers playing with each other, playing with skill, when they've both played with guys who don't have a lot of skill, they haven't produced a lot. I'm not saying it's solely on the other guy's shoulders, but they do deserve some of the blame. But when you play it with skill, I think you're more apt to produce offense. And they did tonight for sure. So you're thinking, okay, as we mentioned, game over. Well, Nashville gets a power play opportunity on a penalty taken by Jacob Trouba for slashing. And who scores but Ryan Johansson on a real nice move in front, left alone on a... you can't leave a guy like that alone, first of all. I mean, and the touch that he has, he gets the puck on his forehand, goes backhand in front of Hellebuyck, puts it past Hellebuyck, and it's 4-2. We'll quickly talk about that goal. Shea Weber makes a nice pinch. The puck ends up with James Neal. James Neal makes a nice pass through the seam to Johansson in front. But you kind of wonder where Tobias Enstrom's going here. And maybe you want Myers to support him a bit, but Enstrom leaves the front of the net. And when he leaves the front of the net, Johansson is wide open, and haven't had the benefit of watching the replay a number of times, but it looked like here in Enstrom air, and the Jets' lead goes from 3-2. The score on the scoreboard is 4-2, and the game gets a little bit tighter halfway through the third.
You're right, Rich. You can't leave a guy like Ryan Johansson alone. And I said to you up here in the press box, I said, that's a goal scorer's goal. And Ryan Johansson, even though the Predators didn't win in their first three games with Ryan Johansson after the trade for Seth Jones, of course, he's been good. He's been producing. Yeah. He's been putting the puck in the net. And I thought, you're right, I thought he was their best forward tonight. And again, just shows that patience. He's got great hands. We know that. I mean, this guy, he could score 40 goals one day. He's already scored 30 goals. But you're right, just not the best penalty kill there for the Jets. I didn't think that they were they were set up properly in the defensive zone, and that really allowed the Predators to get back into the game.
Ryan Johansson's having a kind of quote-unquote off year. He's got 32 points. So, you're thinking about off year. That's a pretty good off year for a lot of players, 32 points. The Predators have played 44 games. He obviously hasn't been on the team the whole time, but that's a sign that even a struggling Johansson can still put up points when he is struggling. The Predators get another goal 2 minutes and 42 seconds later, Izzy. So, I mean, you know, 2 minutes and 52 seconds later, excuse me. This is an even strength goal, and this is really all Ryan Ellis. I actually thought Ryan Ellis scored the goal. Looks like Nystrom gets credit, and obviously it was his goal. But Ryan Ellis comes in on the far from the red line on the right side. He's a right side defenseman. He dekes into the Jets zone. He's coming with great speed, really shifty. He ends up beating Jacob Trouba wide on Jacob Trouba's strong right side. And so that means Ellis crossed over from right to left. He beats Trouba wide, fires a puck, ends up being a rebound. He picks it up. He goes around the side of the other side of the net. So he goes from right side to left side back to right side. He fires a pass in front. Trouba had switched off of him onto Nystrom. Trouba loses Nystrom. Nystrom's right in close. This is one you probably want Connor Hellebuck to have. But great play by Ellis. And it's 4-3, excuse me. Jets up on the Predators.
Ryan Ellis, as you mentioned, Richie, great individual effort, and you did think it was Ryan Ellis's goal originally, but Eric Nystrom did get a piece of it driving to the net. But I think this is where they miss Byfuglien, and because after Byfuglien leaves, and then they have to shorten the bench, obviously, and then Mark Stewart is back playing with Jacob Trouba, and Trouba switches to the right side, and I thought that effect, and that they kind of seemed a little bit out of place in the third period there without Buff. But you have to give Ryan Ellis credit. We've talked about him a lot on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's a guy that was the former captain, if you remember, of Team Canada at the World Juniors. You know, smaller guy, sometimes has problems with bigger forwards, right. But offensively, he can skate. He's got great moves. You got to give him a lot of credit. And as you said, that goal kind of led to the next goal. You kind of got the feeling in that third period, the Predators, as we mentioned, they kept clawing back and clawing back. And, you know, they obviously get the goal with less than a minute to play there.
But let's talk about the penalties first, because that's been a point of interest for many Jets fans. The first penalty we'll talk about is the hook on James Neal on a kind of semi 2-on-1. Well, it was a 2-on-1 that I believe was Brian Little and Joel Armia, if I recall correctly. Neal trailing Armia, he ends up hooking him, and Armia kind of, I thought, sold it, and I thought it was a hook. And a dive, that's what it was called. Maybe people wouldn't agree. I thought that was a good call by the refs. And then quickly, I'll go, Ezzy. Shortly thereafter, James Neal gets interfered with by Trouba, and I thought that was interference, and James Neal gets called for embellishment. And I thought that was embellishment. So the crowd was furious with the first call, I think satisfied that the refs were consistent in this regard. And we'll talk about it in a second, but the Jets fans cannot complain about the refs after the call that we're going to discuss on Ryan Johansson. Why don't you get into that?
Well, no, if you want to start with the first hooking penalty by James Neal on Joel Armia, Richie, that was embellishment. I mean, we were watching it. We saw that. I wasn't sure at first, but then you see the replay, and Joel Armia, as you mentioned, sold it. It's kind of funny that James Neal takes a hooking penalty, and then the other player gets an embellishment call, and then Trouba takes the interference penalty, and then Neal takes the embellishment call. Neal seems to be, I really like James Neal. I think sometimes he can be dirty and he can lose his cool a little bit, but he's a great player and always just seems to be involved in the game. He's a very passionate player. You got to love that. Unfortunately, sometimes it's, to a detriment that he's almost too involved in the game sometimes. But I thought Tim Peel did a great job tonight. And I thought the refs and the linesmen did a great job. You know, you mentioned Ryan Johansson. We thought that he might have been chirping and beaking. It turned out it was a face-off violation, and he probably could have gotten an extra 2 minutes and maybe 10 minutes.
When you ever see a face-off violation call?
Never. I mean, very rarely. I mean, it's like an illegal curve penalty, really, if you think about it. You just don't see those very often, because usually the ref or the linesman will warn the player, and then they get set up. But there are new face-off rules this year.
And we should note that it was a 4-on-3 power play that got negated by that call.
Yeah, that's right, and it's kind of rare that you see that that kind of string of penalties, and it really was kind of a parade to the penalty box there in the third period. But, you know, again, the Jets allowed the Predators to come back into the game. As you mentioned, James Neal gets the goal that ties up.
Let's break that down, and I want to get into that here. So the Jets, a lot of pressure against the Jets. That 4-on-3 ended up being a 4-on-3 anyways, because the Predators pulled the goalie. Numerous chances. The Jets were holding strong. And off of a face-off with 14 seconds to go, Paul Gostad wins the draw. He's good at draws, we know that. He got into a spirited fight, by the way, with Mark Stewart, which I thought got the Jets going a bit early in the game. Stewart taking on a bigger guy in Paul Gostad. Anyhow, Gostad wins the face-off. The puck gets over to James Neal. Kind of a similar format to what happened earlier in the game with Neil over to Johansson, just reverse this time. Johansson's on the boards. He passes to Neil a little bit more in the high slot. And Johansson, the right-handed guy, over to Neil, the left-handed guy on his off wing. The puck goes Johansson. So face-off win by Gostad right to Johansson. He finds Neil in the seam. Neil one time, and he's got, we know he can shoot the puck. There's no question about that. He can shoot the puck. And it looks like he went blocker side on that goal to tie it up and take the life out of the building. But on this play, I thought it was interesting. It didn't look like Tyler Myers rotated here. And I thought that was a problem. Another thing that it made me wonder was the combo of Jets defensemen here. Because I don't think Myers gets out to where he's supposed to be. Again, I haven't seen the replay enough to except for, you know, in real time there, or I guess after the goal, immediately after the goal, we saw the replay. But Myers and Trouba, that's the combination. When do you ever see that combination on the ice? It's very rare, and it's at unfamiliar territory. What's your teammate going to do? That I think was a factor there. Anyhow, it's a tie game, and the Jets are wondering, how did this happen? But later on, they take care of it.
And Trouba, because he took the penalty with 4 minutes left, was pretty much just out of the penalty box, right? He didn't get into a flow, I didn't think, that third period. And again, it's because Buff is out. But you're right, Richie. Myers and Trouba, not together really ever, not only because they're both right-shot defensemen, but just because they're not paired together very often with Enstrom and Myers as your top pair, and then with Buff and Trouba on the second pair. Just a pair that you really want to have for obvious reasons, just because I don't think that necessarily they feed well off of each other. I think Enstrom and Myers feed better off of each other. But, yeah, I mean, you got to give credit to Ryan Johansson and James Neal on this goal. It's a nice kind of set play. As you mentioned, Gostad, who's normally the fourth-line center, but he's a guy who's usually around 55-60% on the faceoffs. And I thought Little really struggled there in the third period. Even though Little ended off the night 50%, and he's the Jets' best faceoff guy, in the third period he was losing a lot of key draws, which is unfortunate, because this year he's actually having one of his best years in the faceoff circle. But, yeah, you mentioned, Rich, you didn't think that the Predators were going to come back, score three goals, tie the game up, but they did, and you got to give them credit. They're a team that came into this building having lost three games in a row. They're fighting tooth and nail to hold on to that second last wild card spot. So, you know, give them credit for clawing back and tying this game up. But certainly the Jets, based on the way they played in that second period, should have got the clean 2 points.
You're absolutely right. And then that's what hurts, right? Because you're 3 points behind Nashville after this game. We're talking about the goal in the game-winning goal in the second. But instead of being 2 points, which you ought to have been, even though, you know, you could argue Nashville outplayed them, but when you have a 4-1 lead, 4-1 lead is something you have to take care of. Anyhow, we come into overtime. And the life of the building is really shocked. You know, people couldn't believe it. And you still get the air of this fan base not being sold on the squad. That's the air I get in this building. But tonight's game was an outstanding game back and forth. And you get a clutch goal here from Blake Wheeler. You know, talking this morning about maybe not having everybody all in. And, boy, putting his money where his mouth is with an overtime goal. But first, Ryan Johansson rings one off the post early in overtime. Could have been it right there.
What was that, 10 seconds, 15 yeah. seconds into overtime? As you mentioned, Rich, Ryan Johansson was unbelievable tonight. But I think it was fitting that Blake Wheeler got this goal, because Blake Wheeler's goal is disallowed against the San Jose Sharks. He's really peed off after the game. And then, of course, he's always there. He's the guy that always seems to get the big goal for the Jets. And there's others, Brian Little sure. and Matthew Perreault, Andrew Ladd, maybe not so much this year. But especially this year, Blake Wheeler has really, as you mentioned, he has put his money where his mouth is. And, you know, a nice goal. Little makes a nice pass. Again, a pretty simple goal. There's extra room on the ice in overtime. Sure. But Little finds some space, and Little makes no mistake. I thought also it was interesting that you'd expect almost Wheeler to hang on to the puck a little bit more. Yeah. And early in the game, he was maybe deferring to Little, but he sees the opening. And Rinne, by the way, again, another, you could see that there was a lot yes. of space there to the right of Pekka Rinne, and he makes no mistake about it.
And you know, on that point, it's a great point by you, because if you see it, Little pulls up, kind of passes the puck to Wheeler in motion, but Wheeler doesn't get a ton of speed, and Nashville has three guys back.
Matthias Ekholm goes to take away the pass a bit to Wheeler's right, and Wheeler fires the puck, blocker side on Rene, and I think he should have had it. But give Wheeler credit, and to your point, putting the puck on net. Rene has fighting the puck all night. The first period, he was giving up rebounds left, right, and center off fairly soft shots. So I like that Wheeler does there, puts his money where his mouth is, and the Jets get the victory. The crowd is relaxed, relieved, relieved, and happy to get out of here with 2 points. Probably still concerned about the fact that 1 point was given up, but better 2 than 1, obviously. Better 2 points in the bank than 1. And the Jets walk out of here, and they roll right to the airport for a big game against the Minnesota Wild tomorrow night.
And I think, Richie, one of the main reasons why Jets fans are so concerned at this point in the season, and you look at the standings and you say, okay, well, the Jets are only 3 points behind the Predators now. That's only 3 points. But Chicago's won 9 games in a row now. You know that Dallas is 20-plus points ahead of the Jets. The Wild are 11 points ahead of the Jets. I think it's because of the way the Jets played in November, and they didn't have a very good December either, so that you know that giving up that point, as you mentioned, that could come back to haunt you, but they got to keep getting wins here. You got to beat Minnesota, and you got to beat Colorado to really think that you're making up points here in the standings. We talked about it on A Legal Curve, 3-4 weeks ago. The Jets are going to have to play 700 hockey for the rest of the season. So that means with this homestand coming up, you've got 7 more home games coming up after this. They started off the homestand having 9 of the next 10 games at home. They lost the first 2, so they pretty much have to win the remaining home games to really make up points here. And again, though, I mean, you get the 2 points. You don't get the clean 2 points. But it was an exciting game for the fans, and as you mentioned, Rich, at least the fans leave the MTS Center with a win and feeling better, because after the San Jose game and after the Buffalo game, I mean, fans were pretty upset with the way the team played.
That'll do it. We'll quickly go through a few stats here, and, you know, time on ice. Ezzy and I real beating it down, you know, with no Drew here. We're talking longer, relaxing, of course. 29 minutes, 21 seconds for Shea Weber.
Well, I was just going to say there were 9 goals in the game. I mean, you got to break them all down. It takes a while.
Yeah, of course. 29 minutes, 21 seconds for Shea Weber. He's the leader on the Nashville Predators in ice time. 27 minutes and 16 seconds for Tyler Myers. He's the leader on the Winnipeg Jets in ice time. You have faceoffs. Nashville Predators winning 60% of draws this evening, and the Winnipeg Jets winning 40% of draws. Of course, the biggest one being that Gostad win in the third period. Shots on goal total were 35 to 24 for Nashville, at even strength 31 to 19 for Nashville, and 5 to 3 for the Jets power play shots to Nashville's shots. Well, that'll do it here from the MTS Center. Jets win 5-4 in overtime, an exciting game. We will see you Saturday morning 9 a.m. for the Legal Curve Hockey Show. We have Dave Isaac of the Philadelphia of the Camden Courier Post to speak about the Philadelphia Flyers, and other guests will be booked prior to Saturday morning. So that's it from the MTS Center. For Ezra Ginsberg, I'm Richard Pollock, and we'll see you Saturday.